Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Brizola. I still have this cold. There's a warning about whooping cough. I don't think I have it, but you never know. But into the harness and the show must go on, as they say. Otherwise the crook comes out. You know, the cane with the crook in vaudeville. Excuse me. Today, we're going to our Western Public Radio and KLWFM archives, and we have an interview done with the first survivor of a great white shark attack, and since the movie Jaws, not our Jaws, the Judicial Accountability Watch Service, you can look it up on the web. That's one of our web pages. But the big bad shark, since that movie is being featured this summer, and because of the oil gusher, it's not a spill, it's a gusher in the Gulf, and it's spreading, the animals in the sea, fish, the sharks, have been affected, every one of them, every species, and people are reporting sharks in places where they never saw sharks or are not accustomed to seeing sharks. So I thought this would be timely, and so we'll be featuring that in this show. We are changing. Today is Wednesday, and Friday we'll have a show. Tentatively scheduled is how cops profile suspects, and we have a retired policeman who has quite a background, well-educated, college-educated, and one of the honest people trying to get reform in California politics. His family descends from the Russian government officials who negotiated the sale of Alaska to the United States during the Andrew Johnson administration. It's one of the things people forget about Andrew Johnson. There is a 1942 film about Andrew Johnson. I think it's Van Heflin who starred in it, called Tennessee Johnson. If you can find it, it's hard to find. I'd recommend it. Also, the Russian missile cruiser, the Varyag, was here, and there's quite a bit of history that nobody brought up at the time. You can see the piece we did on Amicus Veritas, our YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas, and this ship has a connection to the U.S. Supreme Court. It's a fascinating case, and it's unique, and so we researched it, and I came across it while doing some work on Stephen Nery's updating his case. He does have a retired or former assistant U.S. attorney, Stephen Gruhl, working on his fourth habeas corpus. The last two that Raul Elmison did, and I finished for him. Raul died, and he didn't get a chance to file it, but I did the work. And then the second one I did the work on, and then the third and fourth Gruhl did. He was one of the assistant U.S. attorneys, competent, ethical, who quit the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Northern District of California because of the incompetence and people who know the corruption of Kevin Ryan, the Canadian, who was born in Alberta, Canada, and lied about it and did a lot of dirty things. Tried to become a federal judge to cover his ass, but that didn't work. Anyway, and currently he's in well-deserved obscurity. But we'll be bringing that up because it affects every U.S. military serviceman who is and servicewoman. The women being abused now, this is not publicized, and we'll bring that case up. It's another California case where a woman was abused, a U.S. Air Force recruit was abused in a local county jail, and she filed a court case on that, and we came across it, and it's quite interesting about that case. But women are one of the political fictions is that only women are affected or are victims of rape. No, that's not true. Thank God, in the military, there are a growing number of military women in the military who have been raped, who have been sexually assaulted, who have been sexually harassed. And fortunately, none of them have been mutilated, murdered. Unlike cases of young male military recruits, the Randy Kraft case, and he's currently sitting on death row in San Quentin. But there's a growing number of veterans, male military veterans, who have tried to get psychiatric services that are due them from the Veterans Administration, and they have been sexually harassed, raped, and they suffer from post-traumatic stress syndrome, just as women who have been raped suffer from that also. But this is one of the political fictions that only women get raped and young males don't. Or they were asking for it, this kind of thing. And this is part of that, the homosexual political agenda that's supposed to don't ask, don't tell, but you can't ask them because they won't tell what their real agenda is. One of the other things that's going on, and we need to deal with this, we have a resurgence of black racism. We've seen this in the past with Louis Farrakhan, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, who, when I worked for the government, had to review one of his programs and in Operation Push, which we labeled Operation Poof, because all it was a CB program, which purportedly broadcasts Chicago police violations of blacks on the south side of Chicago. And also a food stamp program. So I guess old Jackson and Jesse never forgave me for exposing him on that. But we've seen this in the past, and this with some of these other, William Dubois, some of these other blacks. And we have them here today with a former mayor of San Francisco and the head of the speaker of the California legislature, Willie Brown, made racist remarks. Amos Brown, not related, another black racist and a pedophile, has $250,000 in pedophile judgments against us. This relates to the NAACP's political slander against the Tea Party. It looks like a political and verbal diversion from the corruption within their own leadership. And there's more of these cases. Amos Brown, who purports to be a reverend, is particularly pernicious and dirty. He is also the head of the San Francisco Housing Authority, and millions of dollars in rents have not been collected from people who've been living there, and they have money for everything else, but they can't pay minimal rent. Some of the rents are like $25 a month. You haven't seen that since the Depression days, but this is what's been going on, and it's a throwback to Reverend Jim Jones. A little has changed, and in fact it's gotten worse. So we'll bring that up, and we think that Amos Brown is the head of the NAACP here in San Francisco, Northern California, but the morons in the media have censored and suppressed all of these violations, including one where he ran for the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, which is also a city councilman or selectman, depending, it's the same role, depending where you live. Anyway, he wanted to run in a district where he didn't live, but he owned a house there. The house was rented to a woman who was in a wheelchair, disabled. And so he evicted her so he could claim that address as a address to legally run in that district. Fortunately, he was exposed, and he went down in flames on election day. So this shows you that these, just because somebody claims to be a minister or or preach the word of God doesn't mean they're godly or they walk on water. If you think somebody walks on water, and this is one of my old phrases, you better check the source, the temperature, the depth, the pollution level, and downstream. So don't be fooled by these people. And, you know, hold the media accountable when they don't tell the truth or they have the facts wrong or they won't even give you the facts. You know, they want special rights, press passes. And this is another scandal in San Francisco where the FBI, a lot of people don't know this, how parking tickets are paid when, by fleet operators, people who own like FedExpress and that. These drivers acquire a lot of tickets. So what happens is the procedure is the company collects all the tickets in a month and then goes down to parking ticket administration and pays them in one bulk. Well, the FBI, I understand, used to do the same thing in other government agencies that acquired parking tickets. But in San Francisco, the media got parking ticket exemption, and there was a lawsuit about this, but again, it was censored and suppressed in our moronic press. We have the court filing, and we'll put that up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmiCusVeritas. And again, I warn people who are concerned about, who think that the Republicans are going to sweep both the House and the Senate, or even one House, be prepared, because the Democrats and the Lavender Left are not going, they work too hard and too dirty to get where they're at, and they want to keep what they have and acquire more. So, you know, ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you, and has. The other thing is, those of you, these are public records. You can look at who's on the voter registration rolls in your city, county, even state. There are records up at your State Department of Elections. And you're not allowed to take the Social Security number, nor should you be meddling there. But you have a right to know if these people are U.S. citizens, and if they voted, and what party they're members of, and just that type of information, if they're legally registered to vote and they live where they are voting or have registered to vote. Now, another issue related to this is the illegal alien issue. Again, these are not immigrants. These are not people who come here to become citizens. It's all a matter of using correct language. I wince every time I hear these media people say the immigration. This is not about immigration. It's about illegal aliens who are here, whether they came with their parents or they crossed the borders. And the Canadian border is suspect, too. We'll get into that. And the New York Times, interestingly, had written an article, which we will try to put up in the next day or so, on our northern border is not safe also. And terrorists, drug dealers, pornographers have crossed the border. And it's very easy to cross through upstate New York, through the Indian Reservation there. In the west, the Okanagan region, Washington and Canada. And other, and then Windsor, Canada, it's easy to cross. And, of course, Al Capone did the route for people when he was running liquor from Canada during Prohibition. So, you know, it's nothing new. It's just that people haven't been paying attention to it and should. So we'll get into that. But the San Francisco Weekly, a throwaway, a free paper, which every now and then they print something interesting, and they printed some good stuff. Very relevant, unlike the other paper, the Bay Guardian, which is maybe on its last gasp, which has been identified as a gay paper, which publishes things like frontal nudity, penis grabbing at nude beaches, you know, stuff that's totally irrelevant, and for a paper that purports to be a political paper. And they're entitled to be a political paper. We're just getting tired of the pornography. What's interesting is there's a new issue of people who have, young people who have come here illegally, whether with their parents as children or, you know, as teenagers or whatever. Somehow they've gotten into public colleges, University of California, and this is also a situation across the country. But when they get their degree, they cannot get a job because they don't have a Social Security number. And as I remember when I went to law school and college, grad school, that you had to put your Social Security number down on the your application to go to that college. So what happened there? Now, that's a requirement. It's the same thing. And also, get this, if somebody's in the country illegally, when they turn 18, within 30 days, they have to register for the military service, selective service, even though we don't have currently a military draft that's activated. That's another thing that's ignored, and we'll get into that, because that's still on the books and it's still active. But they're complaining that these people who have gone through college, American colleges, even paid, you know where they got the money, that they can't get jobs. Now, the other issue here, in California, we've had people, and I know one of these lawyers, who retained his European citizenship. And I don't know if he's become an American citizen by now. He's in some famous cases right now, involved as the lead lawyer. And they can register, once they pass the California State Bar, they can practice law. But I don't see how somebody who's here illegally, who has gone to an American law school, doesn't have a Social Security number, can even take the state bar test to become a lawyer. So these are these little fine points have not been addressed, and I guess the illegal alien propagandists are hoping people will ignore that. Now I'm going to play an interview done with, I think it's Peter Fox. I saw him a little while ago. He made a film, and it's about the great white shark and aspects of it. And he's the one connected to who survived, the first survivor of a great white shark attack. Here goes.
Paul, and I'm previewing the film The Great White Shark. Shark is a pejorative term to most people, and unlike wolf, the shark really does get into your hide. I'm speaking to Peter Thompson from South Australia, who is an experienced abalone man. Welcome to the program, Peter.
Hello, how are you, Paul?
Peter, what are your observations on sharks and fishermen?
Well, it's pretty hard to say until you've actually been in the water with them. And being...
Have you?
Yes, I've been... I was a professional abalone diver myself for about 7 years, and I personally come across them freed in the wild on two occasions, within swimming close to me 2 or 3 feet away. But it wasn't until we made this film that I was able to observe them from the protection of a cage, and it was still quite scary. Even
you were down there among the lions and the jackals, as you said in your film, huh?
Yes, you can say that again. But no, they're quite big, and you really don't know what they're going to do, and I don't think they even know what they're going to do themselves.
What are your reactions on, what are your impressions? Do sharks, do divers telegraph their presence, or do they give off an odor, or what?
No, I think they just come across you on the bottom, and it's my belief that that they see you a long time before you see them. And from
is their eyesight that good?
I don't think it's so much the eyesight. I think they can detect you.
But how?
Well, I'm not an experienced scientist, but I believe some sort of sonar or something equivalent to that.
Of course, sound travels very quickly in water.
Oh, yes, as you'll see by that film, you just tap something like metal under the water and you can hear it a very long way. And I think that they can hear you taking abalone off the rocks or similar sounds, especially with the noise of the cage may attract them also. But nearly all the abalone divers in South Australia, well, on the west coast of South Australia at the moment, there's 23 licensed divers, and if they don't all own one, nearly all of them own a cage, but there's only about 17 or 18 of them actually using them at the moment.
So the other five are at risk.
Yes, well, you can sort of collect more abalone without the cage. It's sort of a bit of...
You might live longer too.
Yes, that's for sure. That you can collect more abalone without the cage, but you take the risk.
You're in the business, Peter. Right here in California, we're having a fight with between the abalone fishermen and the people who like the sea lions and the sea otters. Do you think that environmentalists tend to get astigmatic, that they don't really see that these things have got to be kept in balance, otherwise we're going to have a preponderance of predators like the sharks?
Oh, I think nature takes its course.
Should people interfere?
No, I think that everything should just sort of take its own course, with nature. And that...
of course, if nature took its course, there'd be more divers end up in the belly of the shark.
Well, there's only been quite a few, really, shark attacks, and people have died. There's a lot more get killed on the freeways.
Of course, there are no sharks behind the wheel. And you guys driving the wrong side of the road. But do you think that the environmentalists ought to look at there is a balance in nature just as there is a balance in maintaining your car or other things in life?
Yes, I think that it can be evenly balanced with the nature here in South Australia or in Australia. Seals and dolphins and porpoises and all those mammals, they're all protected, and nobody really worries them, and there's not much trouble in that particular side of nature.
Well, now that the people are using the metal cages, are they maintain their lifestyle? I mean, are they able to harvest enough abalone to... it's safer to harvest abalone, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yes, it's quite safe to harvest abalone. Their incomes are brought back a bit because of the cages aren't...
slower but safer.
They're slower but safer, yes.
We've been speaking to Peter Thompson, who is an abalone fisherman. Thanks for being on the program, Peter, and welcome to San Francisco.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Okay. This is Peter Paul for Animals and the Idea of the Great White Shark. You don't want to meet him. He's not a practical pet. Thanks for listening.
That was done a while back, and they were visiting San Francisco, and that was after I came back as a correspondent in New Zealand and Australia. We have others. I did about 500 interviews while I was in the, down under, as they say, and it was quite fun, and we're going through a lot of that. It's, some of the stuff is still on tape, and a lot of it was broadcast via Western Public Radio and KLW-FM here in San Francisco. So, and also we have people like Dr. Michael Fox, the wolf veterinarian, and public policy people. I unfortunately did not get my interview with the Russian Minister for Veterinary Medicine. I know he spoke English. He did send me a letter later when I get back, and I was hoping to... I made the mistake of asking them about their experience in Afghanistan, and all of a sudden he says, I don't speak English. No English, no English. And, of course, he was accompanied by what was then, I guess they're still around, KGB agent. I did get an interview, and I think we ran it earlier, with the Cuban head of veterinary medicine in Cuba, and they had free, or at that time, they had free veterinary medical care for people's pets. I don't know how many people could afford pets in Cuba. Nobody's really looked at that situation down there in the 50 years of Fidel Castro. I can remember being in school, and when Fidel Castro overthrew the Batista family and government, a bunch of thieves and thugs, torturers and money launderers, and being a leftist kid at the time, we supported Fidel, but our priest said he's a communist, and we didn't believe him, and it took time for a lot of Americans to realize that this guy was bad news. And interesting, he's another corrupt lawyer. He had a law degree. So, it's another example of that you really have to watch lawyers carefully no matter where they're at, and they've got to be corralled in because even Shakespeare in one of his plays, I think it was Henry VI, said, I think it's Hotspur talking to a pistol, one of the two, said, when I become king, I'm going to kill all the lawyers. And throughout history, and nobody's written a book on this, corruption in the legal occupation, it's no longer a profession. I mean, women who walk the streets have more respect than some of these people who have bar cards. But anyway, it's totally out of control. And one of the reasons why our state houses and our Congress is so corrupt is you look at all the lawyers. You know, Barney Frank, Christopher Dodd, Harry Reid, what's her name, Pelosi, Lucretia Borgia of American politics. She's not a lawyer. You know, she's too stoned half the time and Botoxed. But anyway, by the way, one of the big scandals that was not reported, and it was the biggest heroin bust in U.S. history, $1 billion worth of heroin, was found in a Hayward, California warehouse. And it involved a HUD official named Henry Chang. I think it was Henry, but his name was Chang. And the head of HUD here in the 9th Federal District, the headquarters right here. And Nancy Pelosi was an investor in that warehouse, but she was exposed on NBC at the time, was doing some credible exposés, and they got permission, and we have a copy of the letter, to set up a surveillance camera in the warehouse because the warehouse was under surveillance by DEA. And I knew the head of DEA, and he gave me some information. He's since retired. But when that was broadcast, it was also on channel, I think Fox here, it wasn't Fox at the time, but a TV channel here in the Bay Area of California, and they showed the warehouse being the bust, and she was an investor in that warehouse, but when the information was came out with some of the media, credible media, she said, I don't know anything about it. You know, of course, another big lie from that awful woman. She sent me a nasty letter, too, which we will publish, but anyway, you know, karma will catch up with these people. And we're going to end, and now tune in Friday. We hope to have our cop who will tell you how, is it a sixth sense or what, how cops profile people. And they do that, and they have to for their own survival as well. So we'll end at what is very relevant. Here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing. Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bet out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up and cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, what to bet,
when to call up.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Parrot raise.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your five.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Panjicinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We
run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23. What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Okay, people, thank you for listening, and go to Amicus Veritas, our YouTube site. This is Peter Paul. Tune in Friday at the same time. Okay. That's left.
Thank you.